Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We always let you hear Ron Rivera's Monday presser on Grant and Danny. It's coming your way in just a couple of minutes. We're live. Buffalo Wild Wings and Culpepper. You can stop by and join us on this Football Monday, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Couple of more calls. Let's sprinkle in on Taylor Heinicke. Grade him A through F for yesterday's performance.
See, the great, unbelievable extra credit play, your fourth and four, which you don't count on many quarterbacks being able to make, really changes the outlook of the day. Other than that, you miss so many things. You're limited on offense so much. But those couple of plays, including that especially, that fourth and four, unbelievable.
I'll give him a D up until the game-tying drive. I'll give him an A on that drive and a C after that, and I'll average it all out, I guess, to like a C-. But, you know, you look at the stat line, it was actually really good. 275 and a pair of touchdowns without a pick. It's hard to give him any lower than a C, but if you watch the game, you kind of saw it. Until that final drive, 110 of those yards in the last 7 minutes plus overtime of the last 3 minutes plus overtime of the game. So, you know, that's half of basically his production in the entire contest. But let's hit the phone, see what you guys think. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Will in Fairfax on line 6. Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good, bro.
Doing well, man.
Hey, first, I think we've got to be a little bit thankful for Heinicke. I have no idea where our season would be right now if we had, you know, still had Wentz, I had not gotten hurt. But the second point would be is this guy's running the offense isn't designed for him. We don't move the pocket for this guy. He's maybe 5'11", barefoot. He's having to stare over guys that are 6'3", 6'4". That's the game. But we don't move the pocket. Where's the rollouts? You know, where are the Doug Flutie plays? Where are the Rich Gannon plays? Those are two guys that didn't have great arms, but they found a way to make offenses work around them. I think Scott Turner's doing a good job with some of his play calls. But if I have to see one more bubble screen on 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-2, I'm going to lose my mind.
Appreciate you, buddy. I mean, they throw those screens often on 3rd-and-long, and I'm all for wide receiver screens. I've been begging for them for weeks, so we'll disagree a little bit on that, which is fine philosophically. He's right about the size for Heinicke. It's just something he's got to overcome. There's no doubt.
So
it's hard to do what he does at that size and with his arm strength, and he's made it work.
Here's what I think it is, and I'm frustrated by this, but I think this is the deal. I think if they start doing more and more rollouts, like Kyle Shanahan's offensive system, right, wherever their play is a bootleg, this, that, and the other, I think they're afraid it won't mesh with their run game. And I think they're so worried and so concerned and so occupied with making sure their run game is on point that anything that deviates from that, you know, where there's that marriage between run and pass, they are so concerned about running the ball that they're going to sacrifice getting them on the move. Because I'm with you, caller. I want him moving around.
Umir in Woodbridge. Umir, how are you doing? Thanks for the ring.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I'm going to give Heinicke a C-. To be honest with you guys, outside of that Curtis Samuel throw, I mean, what other throw did he make in that game where you were like, okay, yeah, this guy's, you know, a quarter, you know, he can make the throws that we need him to make. Simply put, Heinicke's not going to deliver the ball when we get behind schedule on offense. He's not going to make the throws that we need. And even the scores, you know, his two touchdown passes yesterday, I mean, we're sleeping on the fact that both of those balls, I mean, the first one to Terry was, you know, behind him. He made a great play breaking the tackle, getting into the end zone. Jahan Dotson puts on the most filthiest spin move that I've seen in a while to get into the end zone. I mean, I don't think he's making the plays to win us the game. I mean, there's one, but the
4th-and-4
of the time is
the 4th-and-4 is the play he made, right? But I agree with
every
word of that call. I mean, I would endorse it, rubber stamp it, and co-sign it, with the exception of he made that one amazing play on 4th-and-4. But otherwise, I'm locking in everything you just said. Robert in Richmond on line five. You're on G&D. How are you?
Hey, guys. I mean, this has been 7 weeks of listening to you guys since he took over. Just, you know, nitpicking and ripping the guy every week, even though we're 5-1-1 with him behind center. And it's just getting old. I mean, it's like it's watching an instant replay, you know, dissecting it to the nth degree. We've won 5 games. We tied one. We probably should have won that game yesterday. Should have beat the Vikings. He did have a bad pick. But overall, I mean, we really could be 7-0 if you really want to dissect it. We had a couple pick opportunities at the defense miss yesterday.
But here's the difference, I'd say. And don't hang up. I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the difference. I care. You're saying we could be 7-0, and you're right. I care about the fact that they wouldn't be 7-0 because of him, right? They would be 7-0, and he would happen to be the quarterback when they were 7-0. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
In other words,
he has a lot to do with it. If Carson Wentz was behind, he would not be 5-1-1 right now.
So when Carson Wentz was the quarterback, we were analyzing him very intently, right? I mean, every drop back, every pass, every game. When it was Cousins or when it was, Case Keenum, it's the same thing. I mean, does it annoy you because you like Heinicke, or does it annoy you because it's over analysis of the most important position of the most important team in town?
I believe that we are winning football games. It's overanalyzing. If you weren't in the Washington, D.C. market, you'd be going, man, this guy's pretty decent. Maybe not great, but he's pretty good, and he's getting it done instead of dissecting and kicking him the balls every week. That's all.
Well, I appreciate you.
Thanks,
I would tell you this. Nobody drafted him, and the only coach that's ever signed him is Scott Turner. In 3 different locations.
Yeah,
so,
and
I don't know that I agree with you.
Nationally, I'm going, hey, man, that Geno Smith's good. But in Seattle, know what they're doing? They're dissecting each and every throw. They could be 7-0. They also absolutely could have lost Packers game, Colts game, the Falcons game if it weren't for Daron Payne's hand going up. They could be 2-5 in that same stretch when they're playing this way.
And by the way, yeah, he's doing the they could be 7-0
thing.
They could
be. That's totally true.
It's true. If it's just based on their offense and their quarterback – they won the Packers game by 2 points with a defensive touchdown. So if it's just on Heinicke, that's a loss. They won the Colts game despite only scoring 17 points. So if it's just on Heinicke in the offense, that's more of a defensive win. But do you want the context or you don't? And that's kind of my point. I don't think he's wrong as much as the philosophical thoughts are different. How he views it and how I view it are different. He's saying all that matters is the final score. And if they win, leave this guy alone. And I just don't do it that way. In a team game with 3 phases, I'm sorry. I have to actually look into the individual performances. I don't do that at linebacker. I don't do that at safety. I'm not going to do it at quarterback. Well, they're winning, so don't bench Jamin Davis last year. They're winning, so don't change cornerback to get a better guy on the field. No. Are they winning because of him, or are they winning and he just happens to be there? I think that's an important question. Ron Rivera started his press conference today by answering a question about being flexed into Sunday night football against the Eagles at FedEx a week from Sunday.
Well, I'm kind of hoping we get Saturday. I mean, you know, we have to travel all the way across country. 49ers are coming off of a Thursday game. Be nice to be able to be rested, but you play what they tell you to play. So we'll line up and play and see what happens.
Jonathan Allen was telling us about kind of the importance of the game and getting the fans out there. I know that's obviously been a cause for you the last few years. How do you feel about this opportunity in particular?
Well, I think this opportunity is awesome. I really do. First of all, it's the national stage. It is the big stage. You know, the 1/3 of the U.S. population is on the Eastern Seaboard, and so we know they'll all be tuned in. Secondly, it'd be awesome to have a great turnout. I think we're working towards that. We're trending in that direction. I'm pretty fired up for our guys. I really am, just because we have guys that deserve some exposure. And this is about as big a stage as we've been on since the Monday night game or the Thursday night game we played. And you know, this is a great opponent for us. You know, they matched us on Sunday. And so it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, we're pretty even. So it'll be a fun night. I really do look forward to it.
Hey, Ron, when it comes to Taylor in that Giants game, how do you measure the evaluation of maybe the first 3 quarters versus the end?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I thought he had a lot more quality quarters than just the end of the game. I really do mean that too. I thought, you know, the first quarter was outstanding. There are a couple things in the second quarter. I know he wish he had his back, but I thought he did a couple things. Third quarter, he did struggle a little bit, but it all wasn't just Taylor, you know. And he does what he does. He plays the way he plays, JP. I just think you take the good with the bad. But I think that's true for a lot of quarterbacks. I don't think there's a whole bunch of guys that are out there that aren't making, you know, a mistake every now and then. So, you know, just I got to admit, I was pleased with the things he did, and I was pleased with the way the guys played.
And then looking ahead to two Sundays from now, the O-line injury is starting to stack up again. How concerned are you? How much can this extra time off help?
Well, I think the extra time off is going to help an awful lot. I mean, we got a number of guys that are going to be on the list of our injury updates when I get that at 4 o'clock, I believe it is. That's when I have our meeting. So we'll get an opportunity to find out exactly where we are health-wise with everybody. That'll be cool to see. But I know that this week will be a good rest week for our players, an opportunity for them to take care of themselves, get themselves right, and see what happens as they prepare for this stretch of four games left to go.
With the tie happening, Ron, is there any temptation or thought of going to Carson and trying to spark an offense that seems a little stuck in that kind of 20-point neighborhood?
Not necessarily, Pete. I think that this is who we are. I mean, you know, this is how we play. We're running the ball right now well. We're controlling the time of possession. We're keeping our defense fresh. And there's some things, obviously, that, could help. But I think right now for where we are and who we are, I think we're in a good spot. I really do.
And do you still view it as a week-to-week decision where Carson could be inserted at some point, or do you feel comfortable with Taylor now that you've got this four-week stretch here to finish up?
Well, I feel comfortable with Taylor, but, when Carson's activated, he will be the primary backup, and we'll go from there.
Ryan, how can you continue developing the passing offense?
Practice. I mean, that's really the only thing we can do, Sam, is any opportunity we can to throw it in the game, we do. We try to throw it at the opportune moments, the right moments. And that's really what the passing game should be, is when you need to use it, use it. If it's part of the flow of the game, then it's part of the flow of the game. I think for the most part, that's the thing that helps us is that as we're running it, it takes a lot of the pressure off to have to throw it. We can throw it when we want to throw it. We can use whatever action we want if we put ourselves in that position. I do know, obviously, that if you are playing a high-powered offense and they score early, you got to be able to match it, and that's one of the things that we have to be able to do, and I think we can. I think we have enough of the playmakers. If we can get the balls in their hands, we can make plays.
Ron, generally
– what have you seen on tape either yesterday or in the past that – gives you that confidence that if you guys do need to pass and kind of keep up with that high powered offense that you can?
I think because of some of the stuff that we left on the table, left out on the field. I mean, and I've said that before, it's how close we are. That gives you reason to be optimistic. And, if you sit down and get an opportunity to go through the tape and talk with, somebody in the know, as they sit there and talk about, oh, look at this opportunity here. This is something that could have happened. When I watch tape, I try to figure out what the defensive coverage is, and then I look at where I think the ball should go. And most of the time, that's where we're headed. I'm seeing it like our guys are. Then as you see certain things that we miss, whether it's the throw is missed or, the route could have been better, or we just didn't have enough time with the protection, those are all things that we have to work on and hone up. For that moment, that when we do have to score, can we do it? I thought that drive in the that 92-yard drive, I thought at the end of the game to score the touchdown kind of shows what we can do if we can get the ball in the hands of the playmakers.
Ron, generally, your bye weeks to kind of evaluate everything, but with it so late in the year, and you guys already kind of have an identity, what we kind of use this week for?
I think the big thing, Matthew, is an opportunity to take a look at some of the areas that we have not been as efficient, whether in some situations, some red zone stuff, some third down stuff, perhaps some short yardage stuff that we can take a really good long look at. and just see. You know, for the coaches, it'll be an opportunity to evaluate. But the best part, more than anything else, is, you know, a lot of the stuff has been looked at, like you said. And, you know, as we get into it, it's really about who we're getting ready for next. We got the Giants, obviously. And then after that, you know, we've got three more games that, you know, that are just as important. But we got to be ready for the Giants. And I think that's a lot of the time will be spent. You know, we'll review a couple things, we'll talk about a few things, and then we'll go from there.
And your options on the offensive line, you used Les Schweitzer at center earlier in the year, but you went with Nick yesterday. Is that something that you see if Tyler can't go?
Part of it was due to the injury stuff that we had to deal with. You know, we got a whole week and a half to prepare. We can make that decision as we get closer.
Hey, Ron, you said the other day that the turf in New York would not be, or in New Jersey, would not be a factor with regards to Chase's situation. And obviously he didn't play. Does that mean that just physically you guys just don't think he's ready to go, or his confidence isn't there yet that you need to see?
I think the biggest thing, Ben, more so than anything else, is that with the way we're playing right now, and we're playing pretty well on the defensive front, the need to get him on the field hasn't been that you got to have him out there. We need him. It's a must. This is one of those things that because of our guys are playing well, we can get him back when he's 100% ready to roll. And that's the biggest thing. We don't want to put him out there, you know, when he's not ready and feeling it. I know he's close. I really do. And again, I think the big thing for him, more so anything else, is just continue to do what he needs to do. And we'll see how he is next week. But again, it's, you know, putting the guy out there when he's ready 100%, or as close to possible as it can be. But I do know, again, we've been doing some pretty good things with the guys we have out there. You know, yesterday we had a couple of guys get nicked up as well. And we'll see how they are in the next couple of days. But I'm pretty optimistic going forward for next week.
I'll let one of my great colleagues ask you a follow-up on that, but I wanted to slip in a completely random topic. Jake Fromm, obviously he's been just kind of on the practice squad and is a guy that had a big college career. What have you noticed from him being around with you guys all this time?
Oh, tremendously smart football player. Young man's got a good feel for the game, good understanding of the X's and O's. He's got a good arm. He can make pretty much most of the throws. He's athletic, moves around, you know, and his understanding and knowledge of the game is really good.
Hey, Ron.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You'll go ahead, Nick. I'll go after you.
The defense, you know, against Atlanta, Mariota, I think he picked up 49 rushing yards. Daniel Jones had about 71. What is it about some of these quarterbacks, and is that something you guys are working on to kind of shore up there?
Yeah, we are. I think, again, I thought the halftime adjustments were pretty good again. You know, we pretty much gave up a couple hundred yards in the first half, and then the second half we only gave up like 111 or something like that, 112, I think it was. And one of the things that, you know, obviously it's hard to defend the quarterback all the time. And that's the thing that we have to continue to work on, and I know we do. I know some of it sometimes, and probably the biggest one they got us, they came out and they looked like they were running some sort of screen, and they're like, and that kind of also was a fake off of one of the jet sweeps, and one of our guys in the middle got a little too nosy and left his responsibility, and that was the big one Daniel ripped off against us, and that's something that we have to be aware of. Even more so just because the value of the quarterbacks running the ball. I think, again, we made some good adjustments, came out in the second half, and we limited that. But, again, if we can just make sure we're good with it from the beginning, it will most certainly limit the impact that the quarterback running will have against us.
And then going back to Chase, what is still missing in your mind? What do you need to see?
Well, I think, again, as we go through it, it's just making sure he can put that leg in the ground with confidence and be able to protect himself when he has to, you know, be willing to stick it out in front to protect on a cut block and or somebody coming down at his knee. I mean, those are all things that you have to get. But the biggest thing, more than anything else, Nicky, is because of this injury and because of the way that the doctor has described it to us, is the only real way for him to get any true work on this is now is out on the field. And, you know, now that we're in the peak of the season, it's one of those things that you can't mimic what he's going to get out there in the game. And so he's just got to continue to work at it, build that confidence. And again, you know, I know one of the things is you know, the severity of his injury wasn't divulged early, mostly because they didn't want it divulged. But as it got out there, I think people understand it, that this was more than just your normal knee injury. This involved a little bit more. And that's why I think the rehab has been a little bit more. And so he's really come a long way. He looks good. And now it's just a matter of, as he's ready to go, we'll get him out there.
And just to clarify real quick, is it – in your mind, is it mostly mental and confidence at this point, or are there still any physical limitations?
I think it's just him being comfortable. And again, continue to work on that. Continue to build it up. Just because, again, this was not just the normal ACL. There was a little bit more involved in it. That's one thing I think everybody got to understand. You know, and again, not everybody is going to come back in 9 months, 10 months. You know, this is one of those things. It takes a while, even when they do come back. If you look at some of the guys that have come back, Saquon Barkley is a great example. Young man came back from his knee last year, and he was average. Now you take a look at him, and he's more than average. He's pretty special. And it's good to see him back on the football field playing that way. And it takes more than just 12 months, 13 months, 14 months.
Three more.
Hey, Ron, going back to the past game, when you see what – and obviously it's game by game, game plans, et cetera, can change. But when you see what, like, Jahan did and Curtis did and Terry did, does that kind of give you the ability to even broaden things as you go down the stretch and maybe enhance what other stuff you are doing?
Those are things that John, you do look at. I mean, again, it's one of those things. Jahan has gotten back to where he was when we first started the season, and we're more comfortable with him, that he is back. He's gotten some more reps. Now, all of a sudden, he gets an opportunity to make some plays, and we start to see that flash again, and we're now even more aware. The quarterback's now even more aware. There's more weapons than just, you know, handing the ball off or tossing the ball or throwing the ball to somebody. Now we're in a position where we can, you know, really spread it. And really, when you, like I said, you open up that game book and you see how many different people touch the ball. Again, that's one of the strengths of this offense, is that the more people touch the ball, the more diversity you get in the offense, the more opportunities there are for it to be explosive.
And then going back to the injuries, you know, you said you're going to get an update at 4, but we also know that Cole Holcomb underwent the surgery.
Yes.
What does his loss – I mean, I know that's, you know, clarifies the season, the loss of him. And then what's the level of concern, though, with Tyler Larson? I know you get the update later, but is there a level of concern right now?
Well, I know there was a level of concern last night. And, again, he's been evaluated, and they'll give me the report. But, like I said, last night there was a level of concern. And we'll see exactly where it is once we get an opportunity to visit with Al very shortly.
Hey, Ron. Looking at Brian Robinson and the cleats he wore yesterday, what is it like? Because from your perspective, you are a person who was using your platform to fight against cancer. What is it like to support a cause that you've been affected by?
You know, I think it's a very powerful thing, Darren, because you can tell your story. And B-Rob now has an opportunity not only to have the platform, but he has an opportunity to share a story that should make an impact, you know, with people in the community. And being somebody of his stature, I think he's got an opportunity to really share a very, very good message. You know, there was an incident and somebody was talking about what went on, and he was very profound about it and really said, you know, that people just got to understand, you know, that this young man is a product of his environment, and we got to be able to help change that environment. And I thought, man, all right, I get it. Because he said, I'm not mad at the young man because I understand that he's coming from a tough situation. And that was so, you know, that was so mature of it. Just, it spoke volumes to me just because he's aware of the community's need for this being brought to the forefront so that it could be hopefully corrected.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Charlie. Thank you.
Have a good bye.
Thank you.
Nice play on words.
Commanders head coach Ron Rivera with the media today. It is time for our Capitals Power Play. Caps play the Oilers tonight in Edmonton. 8:30 puck drop. Edmonton is 14-11. Another injury for the Capitals, Danny, goalie Darcy Kemper.
That's a bummer. They could certainly use him against this high-scoring team. Connor McDavid has 47 points as this group. The Oilers have won four of their last five. Offensively potent, this will be a tough test for Charlie Lindgren and company.
That's your Caps power play. Big thanks to everybody here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Culpeper off Knolls Mill Road. We're here one more time on January 2nd. So have your last chance to come on out and see us at this location. Football Monday presented by Paul Henry Windows in the books. Paul Henry Window Installation. PaulHenryWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Overtime with Linnell Willingham is next. For Ryan on site, Darris in our DC studios, and Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.